Do you love Wisconsin more or less since Governor Walker and a Republican-controlled legislature have been in charge? What good or bad changes have taken place as far as you're concerned in the past 5 years or so? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest this hour wrote a piece, an op-ed piece, that was entitled, Whatever Happened to the Wisconsin We Love? And we wonder what your answer is to that question. Spencer Black is our guest. He is a former Democratic state representative. He represented the 77th Assembly District for 26 years. He was chair of the Natural Resources Committee. He currently serves as the vice president of the National Sierra Club and is an adjunct professor of urban and regional planning at UW-Madison. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
What prompted you to write this piece?
Well, what prompted me was what has happened to our once sterling clean government in Wisconsin. I've seen, once Wisconsin was known nationwide as the epitome of the clean government state, and I've seen an erosion of that, both in things that have happened and things that are rapidly coming down the pike. Your news story, state news story that preceded this show, I think, did a good job of talking about three pieces of legislation that seem to be being pushed through the legislature very quickly, that will further diminish what was once a very clean and open government that I think the public in Wisconsin not only could be comfortable with, but take pride in.
Well, one of those changes would be this overhaul of the Government Accountability Board, which right now is nonpartisan, but the changes would make it partisan. It would also split the Government Accountability Board into two separate agencies, one overseeing elections, one overseeing ethics. We just heard Peter Barca, State Representative Peter Barca, in that newscast saying that this is the worst week that he can remember as serving as a state representative. Is it that bad?
Well, I think in terms of our clean government, what has happened, and we can go into that, of course, and what is happening is the worst we've seen in terms of governmental integrity in Wisconsin. Wisconsin has long been known as a clean government state. You know, even our scandals, the exception proved the rule, were such that other states shook their heads and said, we can't even believe that's a scandal. But we had such a strong standard of clean government and open government that we shined across the nation. There's a story I like to tell about some years ago. Louisiana had interminable scandals, and one of their columnists down there, in exasperation, said we should make a deal with Wisconsin. We'd cook for them, and they would govern for us. Because Wisconsin was looked as the state that had an honest and effective government. But we've seen that totally eroded in the last few years in a lot of ways. We've seen legislative elections that, for all practical purposes, needn't be held because they're so rigged through gerrymandering. We've seen in the environmental area and other areas that people who make campaign contributions basically get the policy they want after the check is written. And now we see our government watchdog turned into a partisan body. We've seen an attempt, fortunately stymied through public opinion, at least for the present, to get rid of public records, although the governor's office still acts as if the public records law doesn't apply to them. And we're now seeing that politicians want themselves essentially to have a get-out-of-jail-free card, that they would be exempt from criminal investigations of the sort that we conduct in Wisconsin. In addition, we see a bill that would take all limits off money that could be given to partisan committees, campaign contributions that would be given to partisan committees, and that the disclosure requirement that large contributions indicate who the employer is, so that if a CEO, for example, of a large mining company gives $700,000, we know that because there's public records that are accessible to all, that would no longer be a requirement under state law. So the whole suite of things that are happening in the state undermine, if not totally get rid of, what once was a really proud tradition here of Wisconsin of clean government.
What are your concerns over the proposed bill to dismantle the Government Accountability Board? What is so wrong with what's being proposed?
Well, you know, we have the experience here. When I was in the legislature, we passed a bill, I think it was passed unanimously. It was totally bipartisan, to go to a nonpartisan elections and ethics board. And this was based on experience, because often one that is partisan first may give one party an advantage, but also, you know, and this is, some of my Democratic friends may not like this, but Democrats often can do bad as well. And the political parties, if you have partisan operatives running this thing, look out for each other. And you tend to have protection of the incumbents. So if you really want honest policing of ethics and fair elections in the state, you want a nonpartisan board. And the fact that the GAB has rankled people is probably the best sign that it's doing its job. You know, this is not a the judges on this, they're retired, but they're primarily appointed by Republican governors and were Republicans, I think it's fair to say. But they have done their job. They've taken their quasi-judicial responsibility seriously and done a good job. But the fact that they have tried to enforce our elections law and uphold our clean government tradition obviously has rubbed some very powerful politicians the wrong way, and now they want to have political operatives in charge of our ethics rather than independent, nonpartisan judges.
What do you say to the Republican lawmakers, though, who say that the Government Accountability Board has been acting in a partisan fashion right now, unfairly going after Republicans and or accusing Kevin Kennedy, the director of GAB, of being, I guess, biased toward Democrats?
Well, I dealt with Kevin Kennedy a long time in the legislature. I was even the minority leader. Kevin is not sympathetic to Democrats. But he is a very concerned guy who wants to apply the law equally to everybody. And in terms of the GAB being favorable to Democrats, virtually all the members of the board itself, the retired judges, were appointed by Republicans and are Republicans, one of whom, for example, was even a Republican legislator with me, David Deininger.
And what is it about the campaign finance reform bill that's so wrong?
Well, I think there's two things from what I've seen that are really problematic. One is it takes all limits off contributions to the committees run by the partisan leaders and political parties. And secondly, it eliminates the disclosure requirement so that we know which corporations are giving money to candidates. So we won't know, for example, look at some of the contributions that have been given in the past. We had Gugebic Mining, which wanted to build this massive open pit mine in the Lake Superior watershed. They gave $700,000 to Governor Walker or a committee that was helping him. We would never know that in the future under this proposal.
And we also wanted to, while you didn't address it necessarily in your piece, you are with the Sierra Club, you were the chair of the Natural Resources Committee. A lot of people are wondering, what's happened to the Wisconsin we love when it comes to our environment? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, this is also a sad thing. You know, we were not only a clean government state, we were a clean environment state. And I have seen environmental protection in this state terribly degraded over the last several years, especially our water quality, where we've seen water quality problems coming, and virtually no enforcement of our environmental laws. You know, the Department of Natural Resources used to be an independent agency run by a citizens board. Now it's run entirely by political appointees. The people in charge of it now are all appointed by the governor. Have been making decisions that have not been protecting an environment. They've been more protective of campaign contributors. We've seen large-scale pollution and problems both with drinking water and with surface waters, and enforcement actions have fallen precipitously, and many decisions are being made in the interests of those who give campaign contributions and not those not made on the basis of science. Of course, the scientists at the DNR have largely been fired, and that being based on the protection of our natural resources. In water quality, the Water Division, which is responsible for protecting our waterways and has done generally a pretty good job since the passage of the Clean Water Act more than four decades ago, now they are being split up, and part of them is being put under the thumb of a political appointee whose last job was lobbying for the state's largest contributors, and the other half are being put under a bureaucracy whose job is not to protect the environment but to promote business.
We are talking with Spencer Black, former state representative, author of the op-ed piece, Whatever Happened to the Wisconsin We Love? And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check the news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. Do you feel nostalgic for a Wisconsin that you feel is no longer around? What changes, be they political or environmental, are you concerned about? What do you love about Wisconsin as it stands today? What do you wish was different? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with former State Representative Spencer Black, who authored a recent op-ed piece, Whatever Happened to the Wisconsin We Love? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Spencer Black is currently vice president of the National Sierra Club and adjunct professor of urban and regional planning at UW-Madison. He said that Wisconsin was once a state of clean government and a clean environment, and that is changing, that has changed. And Spencer Blake, you also say that it's not likely to change back or shift back anytime soon because of redistricting.
Unfortunately, that's true. Our elections, especially for the legislature, not the statewide one for governor, but the elections for legislature essentially have been rigged through extensive gerrymandering. Republicans who control the legislature basically drew themselves into permanent control of government. It's more worthy of a third world banana republic than it is of the state of Wisconsin. What they did is they drew lines for legislative districts in such a partisan and convoluted fashion that they virtually guaranteed themselves a legislative majority, even when there's a strong vote against them. For example, in 2012, Democrats for the state assembly won those seats by a strong margin. Statewide, Democratic candidates received almost 200,000 more votes for the assembly than did Republicans. And despite the fact that Democrats got a lot more votes than Republicans for the legislature, they received less than 40% of the votes. So the Republicans got 47% of the statewide vote, but they got more than 60% of the state seats in the legislature. And for all practical purposes, it would be almost impossible for the Democrats to win the legislature, certainly the assembly because of this convoluted gerrymandering, and probably the Senate as well. So, you know, if people are disgusted with what's going on and say they want a new legislature, given this extensive and unheard of kind of gerrymandering, it's been called the worst in the country, and that's saying something, the voters really are sort of dealt out of the process, and the people in power have guaranteed that they're going to remain in power. It's something that's done in, in dictatorships and military coup d'etats, and for all practical purposes, it's what we have here in the state of Wisconsin, that the legislative elections have been essentially canceled for control of the legislature. And what this means is that the people who are in the legislature not only will stay there, but they know that they will stay there. So they can be somewhat oblivious to public opinion so they can push forward some of these bills that are undermining clean government and engage in power grabs and really not fear electoral consequences because they know that their party is almost guaranteed to stay in control regardless of what the voters do.
And when it comes to the redistricting, you say the Democrats dropped the ball on this.
They did. is the Democrats are hardly free of blame. Democrats had a chance to do fair redistricting, and at the risk of patting myself on the back a little bit, I introduced legislation to do this, essentially to do what they do in our neighboring state of Iowa, where they have a nonpartisan independent commission draw up these legislative districts instead of legislators drawing up their own district and choosing their own voters. And in Iowa, it's worked. It's also been a heck of a lot of cheaper and avoided all sorts of million-dollar court fights that taxpayers here in Wisconsin have had to pay for. But what's happened in Iowa has you've had fair legislative districts, and, you know, the public gets to vote for who they want to control the legislature. I introduced legislation to do that in Wisconsin. I did it ever since I was minority leader, and I was back in the last redistricting after the 2000 census, and I was so disgusted by the process that I said, we got to do better. But the Republicans turned a blind eye to that legislation. They never got anywhere. But unfortunately, the Democrats had a chance in the last 2 years of the last decade before redistricting, and I couldn't get them to do it either. So in this case, the Democrats, and now they regret it. They wish they had a do-over, and Democrats, to their credit, are introducing legislation now to go to independent redistricting. But, you know, the proverbial horse got out before the gate was closed.
And it's unlikely that a Republican-controlled legislature will go for a change in the redistricting.
I think that that's a very safe bet.
We have lots of callers, so let's go to Clarence in Watertown first. Hi, Clarence.
Good morning. I will say the first thing, I've seen Mr. Black's pictures, and I think he and I have the same barber.
All right.
I am self-employed, and I very much like the direction that Wisconsin's taking. The organized labor, the teachers' unions no longer rule politics. My property taxes have dropped substantially. I'm in the agricultural endeavor, and we feared the DNR. We feared the DNR more than we feared the IRS.
Yeah, well, we have here now. Clarence says he likes the Wisconsin we have now. And voters like Clarence voted for the Republican majorities, Spencer Black. What about that?
Well, there's certainly less. Governor Walker is a lot less popular than he once was. I think the latest Marquette poll showed him down in the mid-30s. And despite Clarence's good choice of hairstyle, I have to disagree with him. We have a clean environment and a good economy go hand in hand. And, you know, the harm to the environment that's being done is being done in the name of being so-called open for business, helping the state's economy. But simply put, it's not working. It's a failure because Wisconsin, by any measure, is in the bottom third, depending on some. We're actually at the very bottom in terms of job creation, in terms of economic growth. The last 5 years, compared to the rest of the country, Wisconsin's economy has performed terribly. So that if the idea is that harming the environment, sacrificing our environment to create jobs and a good economy, that idea, that experiment has been proved to be wrong, because not only has our environment been harmed, but our economy is at the bottom compared to the other states in the Midwest and the rest of the country as well.
Senator Scott Fitzgerald posted on his Facebook page, Spencer, that a chart, an unemployment rate chart for 2015, and he writes, in case you missed it, Wisconsin has reached our lowest unemployment rate in more than a decade. The numbers he posted indicate a 4.3% unemployment rate right now, and there's no source there, but I'm assuming it's our state Department of Bureau Statistics or Labor Statistics. So we have a low unemployment rate right now, and isn't that showing that something's working?
No, it's not. I don't disagree with his numbers, but I do disagree with his interpretation. Wisconsin's unemployment rate has always been less than the country because of the structure of our economy, largely because it's agriculturally based. So we've always had much lower unemployment than the rest of the country. What's more relevant, but I think what he's posting, while accurate, is one of those facts that's a little deceptive, because our unemployment rate has fallen less than the national unemployment rate has fallen. So our, as a whole national economy has done well, unemployment rate has fallen nationally quite dramatically. dramatically. Wisconsin's has not fallen that much at all compared to the rest of the country. But we do have a lower rate than the country, but we always have had a lower rate than the country. And the decrease in our unemployment has been less substantial than the rest of the country. So even in that measure, we've done worse than the rest of the country, but we've always structurally had a much lower unemployment rate than the country at large.
Andy on Facebook says, I miss when the state used to work together, regardless of party, to solve issues, before the extremists on both sides came along and made compromise and collaboration a four-letter word. What about that?
Well, I agree with that. You know, when I was in the legislature, I'm a Democrat, I was even the Democratic leader, and pushed hard for legislation, but I always worked with Republicans. You know, one of my signature pieces of legislation, the Stewardship Fund, is named the Gaylord Nelson Warren Knowles Stewardship Fund after a Democratic governor and a Republican governor. And I worked with both of them to create that legislation, which built on their legacy. And I always, almost always, had bipartisan support, and I always tried to work or at least listen to the other side of the aisle. And we've lost that. We have lost that in the state. From what I hear from legislators now, when I talk to my former colleagues, they barely say good morning to each other many days, much less work together. And I think that's a big mistake. And I think a big part of it is tied to the infusion of big money into the state, where you know, the legislative leaders can enforce discipline because they have the ability to hand out money to legislators or their opponents. The other part of it, which we were just discussing, is gerrymandering, where you have far more, as part of the Republican gerrymandering, you have far more partisan districts. So legislators don't face a challenge from the other party, but they may face intra-party challenges, and that's where they look to in terms of defending themselves in a future election. So a combination of factors have led us to a situation where there's relatively little working across the aisle, and I think that's a shame. It's a real difference from what I experienced during most of my legislative career.
We are talking with former State Representative Spencer Black about an op-ed piece that he recently authored, Whatever Happened to the Wisconsin We Love. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Patrick in Rice Lake is with us. Hello, Patrick.
Yes, good morning, Joy. Thank you for allowing me to be on your program, Mr. Black. It's a pleasure. I would say that I completely agree with you, sir. I was born, raised, and educated here in Wisconsin and returned here about 20 years ago to work professionally. And I absolutely am in love with the physical beauty of my state, its history of progressive education and politics. And it makes me quite sad that the almost signature legislation of our Republican governor and legislature is the denigration of teachers, unions, and the passing of concealed carry. My great joy is probably seeing Governor Walker drop out of the presidential race, and of course my great sadness along the same line is seeing him return to the state of Wisconsin. So, again, thank you for your words and allowing me to be on your program.
Well, Patrick, I'm glad you called, but I also, I think you maybe mentioned to my producer that you also still love Wisconsin.
I absolutely love Wisconsin, and it has absolutely nothing to do with Governor Walker or the state legislature. I'm probably more in love with it than I was when I left, and it remains a beautiful state, and I think that people who care deeply about it have to love it more than we have before, and are willing to work to make it into the beautiful state that we believe that it is and believe that it can be once again.
Yeah, so he still loves Wisconsin but hates some of the things that he's seen happen. Spencer Black.
Well, I think Patrick said it very well. It echoes my sentiments. I think the sentiments of a lot of people. You know, you can't have a broken heart if you didn't fall in love. I came to the state as a young man and fell in love with it many, many, many decades ago. And it breaks my heart to see some of the things that are happening. it doesn't diminish my love for the state, its physical beauty, the wonderful nature of its people, our legacy, our culture. There's so many things to love about Wisconsin, and I still would talk it up to anybody I talk to around the country. But that's all the more reason. If we didn't care about Wisconsin, we wouldn't really care about the things that are happening that may hurt it. But it's because we love Wisconsin and because we treasure this beloved state that we want to work so hard to stop some of the things that are diminishing our proud legacies of clean government, of a clean environment, of just a civil political culture. And we want to restore the greatness of our state. So we're talking about this not because we've fallen out of love, but because we love our state all the more.
Thank you, Patrick. Eric in Mellon is with us. Hello, Eric.
Hi, Joy, and hi, Spencer. I actually worked with Spencer in the early 80s at Wisconsin's Environmental Decade and enjoyed that very much. And I agree with both Peter and Spencer about the degradation of especially our environmental laws. I've had the opportunity to write extensively on the environment since after working with the decade, I went to Colorado for about 20 years, and then I returned like the previous caller. And I love Wisconsin. I really do. But it's a shame to see the recycling laws dumped. I don't know why that had to happen. And also the a number of years ago, not that long ago, we passed the so-called smart growth. And when GTAC was trying to put the mine in, those smart growth principles elements were largely ignored, but they were mandated by the state. And each county and each municipality in the state had to follow these smart growth laws. And then when it comes to these out-of-state developers trying to ruin the best wild rice sloughs in the world, where a large majority of the even the Lake Superior rice comes from Bad River here in you know, Mellon and of course north where it flows northward, and It's a sad state of affairs.
Thank you, Eric. We only have a couple of minutes before a news break, Spencer. GTAC's not going to build a mine up there now.
No, they're not. But, you know, there was a story on your news just before, I think actually at the break, about the company that owns that land still pursuing a possible mining. And, you know, mining is a potentially very dangerous environmental activity, which calls for strict laws and safeguards to make sure it doesn't hurt the environment. What we've had is just the opposite, is after Governor Walker received a $700,000 contribution from GTEC, he signed legislation that essentially eviscerated the environmental laws when they apply to mining, gave the mining company all sorts of exemptions. Now, he did that for GTEC, who wrote that big campaign check, but that law is still on the books. So if we do have a future company that's interested in mining up there in the headwaters of some of the rivers that flow into Lake Superior, we're going to face that with laws that basically will not do the job and protect us.
Yeah, we have just a minute before the news, and this is unfair, but why would Republicans want to hurt our environment?
Because they're very attuned to people who are writing the campaign checks. You know, almost behind every one of these bad environmental decisions, there's a campaign check. And fortunately, our campaign laws, we know that those checks were written. If they have their way next week, we'll never know who's writing those checks that leads to those decisions.
We are talking with former State Representative Spencer Black. We are talking with him about the shift in politics in Wisconsin over the past 5 years or so, the shift to the right and how that happened and what it means for policy in Wisconsin, talking about whatever happened to the Wisconsin we love, and welcoming your answer to that question or your questions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. In a recent op-ed piece, former Democratic State Representative Spencer Black asked, whatever happened to the Wisconsin we love? And we are talking with Black about Wisconsin's politics and environment and what has changed to raise his concerns. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Barb on Facebook says, we mourn the Wisconsin that we've known our whole lives. I could write a book about all the sad changes that have taken place during the current administration. As a retired teacher and a grandparent, the most painful personal change has been witnessing how our hard-working colleagues are depicted as the enemy, and our schools are so underfunded, beyond sad. So, Spencer Black.
Yeah, we haven't talked, obviously, about what's happened to education, both at the K through 12 level and our university. I represented the flagship campus of the university here in Madison when I was in the legislature, and so I still have contacts and actually teach occasionally there. And I am hearing that the faculty there are so concerned about the fact, not that they're just losing people who are really top-notch, but they're not even going to be put on the list of places where future applicants, the best applicants, want to apply. And this is not just a question of educational quality. It's a question of economics, because the future of our economy is going to be knowledge-based. That's where the jobs are. When you look at the places in the country where they're doing well economically and Wisconsin is not, you see it's really based, a lot of it takes off on quality education. And we've seen a lot of the good new jobs in Wisconsin come from that as well. And our ace in the hole is our university system, and seeing that undermined is terrible, as well as our K through 12 education, which has been underfunded and attacked. But there's a broader issue, I think, which is that we've lost something in Wisconsin as a state. You know, a former governor, and he was a Republican governor, Lee Dreyfus, was fond of a saying, he used to call Wisconsin a 23rd Psalm kind of place. And I think we kind of intuitively know what he meant. It was a special Wisconsin quality. We cared for each other. We respected each other. We tried to unite and not divide. Our politics just didn't have the viciousness and divisiveness that infected so many other places. And it was a real Wisconsin quality. I like that term, 23rd Psalm kind of place. And it seems to me we just don't have that now. We're at each other's throats. You know, Walker passed legislation, but did it. He won with 51-52%. And as other governors did, be it Doyle or Thompson or Dreyfus, you know, once they got to be governor, they said, look, I won, but, you know, there was a lot of people voted against me. How do we bring this state together? And Walker has just tried to press the partisan advantage and not try to bring us together, but has divided us in a way that we haven't seen in my lifetime.
Kathy in Ashland is with us now. Hi, Kathy.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
I was so surprised when I heard your program this morning, because that is the way I've been thinking for quite a long time. I was born and raised here in the state, and I used to be so proud of it. I'm in my 70s. I live way on the northern part of the state, on Lake Superior. And right now, we finally got some relief when that mine stopped, but that isn't dead completely. Now Iowa is buying land up in Bayfield County, which also is next to Shawamigan Bay, Lake Superior. And they're planning to move a hog CAFO up to Bayfield County, and we're talking 26,000 hogs that live in metal cages suspended over manure pits. And they're buying land to spread this manure on. And there's a watershed there and Fish Creek. And this manure is going to find its way into Lake Superior. Our land is a lot of clay. It's going to be running off.
Kathy, thank you very much. We'll do a show, and I know Central Time already has, but we'll do a show on that proposed hog CAFO in Bayfield County. But Spencer Black, a reaction.
Well, I won't go into all the details of the one up in Bayfield County, although, you know, that's an area, a beautiful area of the state that's heavily dependent on tourism. You have to wonder what's going to happen to the tourism economy if you have that kind of environmental degradation up there. But I think more general point I might make is that when it comes to CAFOs, you want to make sure you have a environmental enforcement agency, a DNR, that is on the job, that is going to look out after the environment. And when it comes to CAFOs, this DNR has done just the opposite. Let's take an example on a different Great Lake, Lake Michigan in Kewaunee County, where a administrative judge has found there's been, and in his terms, this is a direct quote, a complete regulatory failure, and he's found the conditions of the water, is, in his words, deplorable. But nonetheless, the DNR has ignored that administrative judge and has, despite the widespread pollution because of the geology there in Kewaunee County, widespread pollution from these large mega farms, the DNR has rubber-stamped approval for even a greater expansion of the kinds of activities that have led to massive water pollution up there. So, unfortunately, with a political DNR run by people who do not put protecting the environment as a first priority, folks up in along Lake Superior should be very concerned that the air environmental watchdog, the DNR, has been defanged under the Walker administration and will not be up to the task of protecting them and the waters they care about.
Ned on Facebook says, are we talking about the Walker administration or the Obama administration? I lived in Wisconsin my whole life, and my world was formed in a conservative farming community, which is the bulk of our populace. Why does the guest think that the views held by the vocal urban minority represent all of Wisconsin? I think Wisconsin is far more conservative than your guest recognizes.
Well, Wisconsin is a state with a purple state. We have, we're not either Democratic or Republican, we're sort of down the middle. But, you know, we've always tried to come together, and it's hardly just urban folks. I think, as your callers indicate, we just had a caller from about the most rural part of the state, the northern edge of it. So, and folks in Kewaunee County, which is certainly not urban, whose water has been polluted, are certainly concerned, and folks who, you know, the caller from Mellon, which is hardly a metropolis, is an indication. So I think these concerns go across, and the attempts to divide the state urban versus rural, one party versus another, teachers versus everybody else, those just hurt our state. And, you know, this is not the way we position a state for greatness in the future. What this really is about is what kind of state we're going to have down the line. And if we're at each other's throats trying to divide each other for political benefit, we're all going to lose. So it's time for us to, what used to be the Wisconsin way, to pull together and do what's best for the state, and that includes protecting our legacies of a clean environment, a clean government, and quality education.
Well, we'll have to have another show to talk more about how to do that. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Joy.
Spencer Black represented the 77th Assembly District for 26 years, was chair of the Natural Resources Committee. He currently serves as vice president of the National Sierra Club and is author of the op-ed piece, Whatever Happened to the Wisconsin We Love? And we posted that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. For 9 years now, communities across the country have collected unwanted medication. The highly publicized Take Back Day, which is tomorrow in Wisconsin, is one way to prevent the abuse of prescription painkillers. A related effort to allow pharmacies to take back unwanted prescriptions year-round was touted when announced last year by the Drug Enforcement Agency. As Shemaine Mills reports, though, few pharmacies in Wisconsin are taking part in that program.
Wisconsin's Attorney General has said 70% of people abusing prescription painkillers are getting them from family and friends. Pills left in a medicine cabinet can easily get in the wrong hands. It's led to what law enforcement and health officials say is an epidemic of legal and illegal drugs in Wisconsin and across the nation. Pharmacist Eric Hewitt agrees.
It's a huge problem.
Hewitt, who owns the Medicine Shop Pharmacy in Monona, wants to do his part.
It's not only prescription drug abuse itself, but leading into the larger issue of heroin addiction and how prevalent that is. You know, a lot of that starts with prescription drug abuse.
So on Take Back Day, Hewitt will collect unwanted medication, along with numerous police departments in the area. The pharmacy could do this every day, under a change announced last year by the Drug Enforcement Agency. The federal agency allows retail pharmacies to use secure mailbox-like containers to collect drugs whenever someone drops them off. But Hewitt doesn't participate in the year-round collection program.
In order to put one of those in your pharmacy, the pharmacy is the one that has to foot the bill for the cost of not only purchasing the box, but the special bags and containers that the medications have to be deposited in.
Few pharmacies are participating in the DEA effort to curb painkiller abuse. Nationally, the New York Times reports that less than 1% have permanent disposal. In Wisconsin, federal officials say there are less than 24 pharmacies participating. This is not encouraging for those fighting against opiate addiction, like Cheryl Witke, Executive Director of Safe Communities, Madison-Dane County.
I think having drop boxes in pharmacies would be a great way to get more of these medicines out of people's medicine cabinets. So yes, I'm very much in favor of it. Also understand the barriers.
Sarah Sorum from the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin says it is educating members about the year-round collection.
The interest is there, but the funding isn't. So PSW has been talking with policymakers about what some other states have done to look at implementing grant programs to support pharmacists engaging in collection services.
The permanent drop-off sites are convenient because there's no set time frame like there is for take-back day. Both methods of collection take nearly all prescription medication, but Sorum says people tend to hoard painkillers.
Your mom might want to hold on to that Vicodin pill that she got when she had her knee replaced. She doesn't need it now, but what if she has a bad backache down the road? She hangs on to that pill and keeps it in her medicine cabinet, and that's not coming back through the take-back event.
The DEA says nationally more than 5 million pounds of prescription drugs have been collected, but limited research suggests most of those drugs are non-controlled substances like blood pressure medication and high cholesterol drugs. Shemaine Mills, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, it's the Week in Review. After the news, we'll talk with two commentators about this week's top news stories, including the Democratic presidential debate and the debate in Wisconsin over concealed carry on college campuses, in college campus buildings. Then coming up Monday at this time, it's the State Capitol Report. We will take a look at a new bill that would allow guns in campus buildings. That, among other news, in our State Capitol Report on Monday from 7 until 8. Thanks to Marika Suval, to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, and to Elizabeth Deliquest for producing and directing this program. This is the Ideas Network.